This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. Led by Dave Nugent, Next League is a global team of strategists and technologists specializing in creating, designing, building, and operating technology solutions for sports organizations. Next League combines product agnostic guidance with end-to-end strategy, design, development, and operations of technology products and platforms exclusively in the sports industry. They're also at the forefront of helping these legacy companies become smarter, using real-time solutions in growth areas like AI to make sure they are connected, engaged, and growing in areas of dire need like fan loyalty and engagement to improving a fan experience and making sure that success is real and measured for all involved. And my guest today is the co-founder and CEO of Next League and author, Dave Nugent. Dave, welcome to Sports Gen.
Thanks so much for having me, Doug. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Next League is the fifth tech startup for you that you've founded or co-founded. You've got 25 years or more track experience in successfully launching, growing, and running new businesses. You've been an entrepreneur pretty much all your life, haven't you, Ben?
Yeah, save a 5 or 6 year window post-college where I worked in financial services and realized that putting a suit on every day was not going to be the way it was going to go for me. Yeah, after that window, I kind of dove in feet first or head first or whatever you say, and been going ever since.
And it's really kind of a great marriage, all your skills when it comes to technology, leadership, and things like that. Plus, you've been a big sports fan. We talked just a couple of minutes before the show, and you went to the same high school with legendary broadcaster Kenny Albert. You're a huge hockey fan. You're an Islanders fan. So this has been a beautiful marriage.
Yeah, it really has been. I'm very, very fortunate. I think everybody that is fortunate enough to work in the sports industry who grew up a sports fan, and it's a very small group of folks who are in the industry who weren't sports fans. It's a privilege to be in the business and be surrounded by folks that some of whom I've looked up to my whole life. Yeah, very fortunate.
We're going to talk about your book. We're going to talk about all the teams that you're involved with. But let's start with Next League itself. Tell us about how it works and why you're so passionate about this startup.
We are, the easiest way to talk about what the business is we're in the business of objective counsel. So the sports industry and the world at large, the world of tech has gotten very, very complicated. So we help sports organizations think about how they should invest in technology in order to achieve their desired business outcomes. And as you said in the intro, we help sort of connect those outcomes to technology. So architecting, designing, building, operating tech with and for them. Because we don't own products or platforms, we can do that in an objective way. And it is a good business these days because that world has gotten increasingly complicated when it comes to, you know, where those investments should be made.
One of the most recent partnerships has been with NASCAR. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we've been very fortunate going back to a previous company that I had co-founded, a company called Omnigon. We started working with NASCAR back in 2012 when they decided to leave the deal they had with was Turner Sports at the time, had all their digital rights, and they decided it was a good time for them to explore what owning those rights themselves might look like. They brought us in first as counsel just to help them with some technologies they'd already selected. And then ultimately, we took over a lot of that tech and helped operate it with and for them. For now, we're going on, you know, I guess 12 or 15 years, something like that. We've been close to those folks ever since. Recently, we agreed to a more strategic engagement that is a multi-year deal. I think for all the reasons that we already talked about, right? It's become a very complicated world. They are in the business of motorsports. Nobody knows their fans and their sport like they do. I think they see in us a group of folks who are thinking about what's next in technology. And because of the familiarity we have in working together so closely, both sides were really comfortable in formalizing a longer relationship.
Dave, when did you know that AI would be such an impact on every industry and the sports industry itself?
I wish I could, Doug, I wish I could sit here and tell you 5 years ago I saw this coming. You know, it's funny, we're recording this on the 4-year anniversary of the launch of this business. And at the launch event, which was part of a sports business journal event called Dealmakers, we were talking a lot about Web3. We were talking about decentralized technologies and the blockchain and NFTs and the thing that we thought was truly the next wave of what was going to happen in technology and then in sports by extension. That has not fully manifested to date, although blockchain technologies will probably continue to be important. For me to say that I saw this going back that far would not be honest. So now that said, there have been some artificially intelligent technologies in the sports business for a little while now. A company called WSC Sports has been automating the clipping of highlights, for example, for a few years. So we've seen this coming. I'd say, me personally, I'd call it 18 to 24 months. I think in the last 12 months, it's become increasingly obvious that this was going to change the way we kind of do what we do in a general sense. It's in a way, it's not a specific technology or set of technologies then as much as it is changing the way that everyone's going to behave. How are they going to access all the things that are important to them? So again, maybe going back to the original question, I wish I could say that I saw this coming 5 years ago, but it's probably more like a couple of years.
Your connections and your partnerships are vast and with some amazing franchises like the Golden State Warriors, the Mets, and soon to be the Jets, I understand.
That's right. And growing up a Jets fan on Long Island, it's thrilling for us to be able to do some work with the folks at the Jets. There's a lot going on, as you can imagine, across the way we think about the sports industry, especially at the team level, is you kind of have three pillars of those organizations when it comes to the way they think about tech. You have what we refer to as media tech, so the content that fans see, right? So that's what you get via streaming and live data on a mobile device or whatever. And there's marketing tech, how do they acquire new fans and sell more tickets and all that? And there's a whole set of technologies around data and marketing that live in that stack. And then on the player operation side, in the case of the NFL, it's football operations. There's a whole bunch of technology that gets deployed in order to monitor things like performance and injury prevention. And that's a whole different realm of technology. So we see in front of us a huge opportunity to be supportive of organizations, teams in general, but organizations like the Jets to help in whatever way we can. They have a bunch of really smart people over there who are thinking about these things in real time. And to the extent that we can be additive there, we're excited to do it.
How does it matter that a whole new regime is in there as far as Aaron Glenn being the head coach now? And even though this season hasn't turned out the way Jets fans wanted it to be, there is optimism that Aaron could bring the Jets back to glory of 1969 and one of my favorite players of all time, Joe Namath. How does it matter that Aaron's now in charge?
I think it matters a lot.
Look at that beautiful jersey. Let's see that jersey one more time.
I have a signed Joe Namath jersey over my shoulder. Yeah. I think what we've learned in pro sports in general, not just in the NFL, is that culture is critically important. And it probably is more important in the NFL than any other sport. And the challenge is that, culture is something that takes time to build. I think ownership has seen Coach Glenn, somebody that not only is a legacy player and who, played under a great coach, but somebody who brings an attitude and a mindset to the way that he wants to build an organization. And I think they're prepared to spend time doing that. And I think, look, the results aside, what you see as a team, in my opinion, like this, this is me as a fan, not me as a professional. You see a team that's not quitting, regardless of the fact that a lot of the bigger name players are not on the club anymore. And that's the beginning, right? Is getting buy-in, and it seems like there's buy-in. And then, you hope over time that the wins will come. But I think in Aaron Glenn, you have somebody who is fully committed to making this work and wanted to be there, wanted to be the person who was going to be in charge of that turnaround. And again, if we can be a small part of that, we're excited to do it.
And it's all different kind of sports that you're involved in, the USTA, the LPGA, the Olympic Committee, Bay FC. So you're all about leadership. You're all about transparency. You are all about creating a culture and a positive work environment. I would imagine that is craved by organizations.
Look, I think as an organization, we built this organization as a culture-first organization. Having had a chance to run businesses that were similar to this in the past, we started at a place where we made a conscious decision that this was not going to be, we were not going to create relationships with clients that were fully transactional. We wanted all of our relationships to be based on a long-term view of what we could do together as partners. And when you can take a long-term view, you can make decisions that are not purely based on, commercial parameters, if you will. And that's worked. I mean, part of that is we had the good fortune of working with many of our current clients over many years, so they kind of understood the way we were wired. But again, when we founded this company, we thought a lot about that non-transactional sort of view of the world and making sure that the nature of the relationships we were going to build were there to last, and we referred to this as trading short-term dollars for long-term commitment, right? Like what we want is the bigger picture. And I think in the roster of clients you see today that we have, which is, 25 plus strong, they understand that. They understand that we're in this. The win in it for us is a win for them, right? If we can create some kind of a return on the investments they make in technology, whether it's in helping them get more eyeballs from a media perspective or sell subscriptions or sell tickets or whatever it is, then, and we can take a long view of that proposition, then we're going to be a good partner. And we've been very fortunate to have that trust put in us by a bunch of pretty important organizations. And knock wood, I'll knock my head, knock wood, we're going to continue to be able to do that.
You kind of answered that question, but the end results, it could be a wonderful fan experience. It could be, as you talked about, it could be the marketing side, could be the player development side. When it's all said and done, how does the report card come in for next league?
Well, if in order to have a report card, we have to do a good job defining success up front, right? So when we're doing a good job, we're saying, when we're done with this work, whatever this work is, this is how we'll know we were successful, and this is the way we're going to be able to prove that, right? What outcomes do we seek from whatever engagement that we've got in any particular window of time? So because we're predefining what success looks like, it's not that hard to measure against, especially if the dynamics are easily measured. For example, if the metrics are a 20% increase in ticket sales, or which is a lot, by the way, let's say 5% increase in ticket sales, then you can measure that at the end of a season, whether it's in motorsports or stick and ball sports. These are measurable things. Not everything is fully quantifiable. But we always start engagements by thinking about what success looks like. The technology part comes after. So when you know what business outcomes you seek, then you can say, all right, well, this is where we need to get. Then this is the way we're going to apply technology in order to get there. And this is how we're going to measure, right? This is how we're going to make sure that what we said we were going to do, we're doing. So the report card at the end is pretty straightforward.
When I was describing Next League, I mentioned the word global, and sports has become vastly global by the second in the NFL with all the games in Europe and elsewhere. And so Chelsea FC is one of your partners, so we know the world follows the Premier League and how that's important to people here in the United States, just as important now as it is in Europe and in places like London. So I would imagine that this can be overwhelming at times for you, can it?
Well, first of all, for clarity, we've worked with Chelsea for years, but not for a little while. So they're not currently a client of ours. Overwhelming, yeah. I mean, look, we sold the previous business, Omnigon, to a company called Infront Sports and Media, which is a really big media rights and sponsorship agency that's based in Zug, outside of Zurich in Switzerland. And we learned a lot about international sport. sport, as you know, outside the US is very, very different. The emphases are very different. Fandom is very different. I recently had a conversation where we were talking about the fact that the idea of, in the US, sometimes teams move, right? The Los Angeles Lakers are called the Lakers, not because there's a lot of lakes in Los Angeles. There are a lot of lakes in Minnesota, right? So those things happen in the US. They really don't happen, especially in international football, because these are they're communal things, right? Although they're technically owned by wealthy people, the community really owns them. So understanding those dynamics at a global level is really critically important to the way that you're going to serve that fandom. And then when you slice that down into thinking just about Europe, Europe is obviously not a thing. It's a whole bunch of different countries and different languages and different cultures and different emphasis on sport. I believe in Germany, European handball is the second largest sport in Germany. I think it was when I last checked. That's not a sport we see much of in the US, right? But it's a huge sport in that country. So understanding those dynamics adds, to your point, adds a layer of complexity that is significantly in excess of what we experience here, where we really have five major men's stick and ball sports. And then you have motorsports and tennis and golf. But that kind of comprises most of the larger sports in the US. Whereas when you think about the Olympic federations internationally, talking about hundreds of different sports that are at very various degrees of emphasis by country. So yeah, it's complicated.
Well, we have another Olympics coming up in February, so I would imagine much of your attention is on those events.
Excited about that. Yes, we are fortunate that the United States Olympic Committee is a partner of ours. We spend a lot of time with those folks. The Winter Olympics is a little smaller than the Summer Olympics. We'll be over there for at least a bit, rooting on Team USA. And then obviously the focus will shift to LA 28. Hosting a games, especially a summer games in the US, is a really, really big deal. And not without its complexities when it comes to running it in a city like Los Angeles. You can already start to imagine the traffic congestion problems that could take place. So yeah, this is a big year. It's always a big year when it's an Olympic year, but there's certainly an emphasis that's going to shift to 28 once we get done with Milano Cortina.
If I still teach a sports broadcasting class, so I always like to ask, especially successful entrepreneurs and people in the sports industry, Ithaca College, what did you learn at Ithaca?
Oh, that's a great question. Ithaca has one of the best communication schools in the country. A lot of broadcasters come out of Ithaca. I was not a broadcaster. I was not in the School of Communications. I was an English major in college. And the one thing, what ChatGPT can do aside for a moment, let's put aside what artificial intelligence can do. It can certainly help us be better writers. I'm not sure it can read for you, although, I mean, it can technically read for you. I don't think it's a good idea. In fact, I would say I don't think it's a good idea to let it write for you either, but that's spoken as an old person, I guess. The humanities are a great way to understand the way humans communicate with each other, both in reading and in writing. Our brains process information differently when it comes to those things. And I think, when attention is paid to the way we really communicate with each other, especially in a world where we're not doing a very good job communicating with each other globally as we speak. I think that kind of a background has been very helpful for me. How will the new world of tech that I live in day to day change that? I hope not too much. I mean, but the reality is, we learn when we're taxed, right? When our brains are forced to build some kind of, not actual muscle, but some kind of muscle. And I think, my background did that. I think, we're going to make it a lot easier for people to make life a little less taxing. And I'm not so sure that's good in the long run, but I guess we'll see. There's no stopping this, right? It's upon us. So we'll see.
As I mentioned, you've been doing this for a long time, and your book, Zero Sales Generating Services Revenue Without Selling, is based on your career experience. What was that like, being an author?
Yeah, it's an interesting process. I was fortunate after selling Omnigon. There was a window of time after which I left InFront Sports and Media, and I had almost a year off. And so, you know, as you get older, and I have three kids and they were getting older, I think you start to, when you have a free, little free time, when you have a full-time job like I do now, you have very little time to think about things like this. But I had free time and you start sort of exploring, what have I learned? What do I know? What might be worthwhile when it comes to like transferring some of that knowledge to other people? What do I believe? And in a way, some of those things found their way into the foundation of what NextLeague is now. So sort of how do we want to conduct ourselves in the world? And do we want to take that longer term view of business relationships, which I described earlier, or are we in a more transactional mode? And you know, I tend to believe that longer term partnerships are better, and that's kind of what found its way into that book.
I have to ask you, as an Islanders fan, there's only a few times as a sports fan that did I cry.
In the middle for Lemieux, backhand, wide of the far post. King gets it inside the line, gets it back again, beats cross ice, broken up by Samuelson. And Samuelson's pass off a skate, Bullock turns. With Ferraro, here they come, 2-on-1, Bullock shoots, scores! David Bullock, Islanders, and they'll be a new Cup champion in 1993.
Did I actually cry? And it was 1993, Dave, when the Islanders knocked off the Penguins as the Penguins were going for their third Stanley Cup. First of all, I never thought the Penguins would ever win a Stanley Cup because I was at the Civic Arena as a young kid when the Flyers would invade the
Yeah.
Civic Arena, and I would say, gee, what would it be like to be a Flyers fan where your team actually is good? So in the 90s, then that was a whole new experience. The Islanders have always had the Penguins number, haven't they?
Well, I don't know about that. I think Sidney Crosby's actually scored more points against the Islanders than any other team that he's ever played against. So I'm not sure. I think there are a few actual, I think Jágr, that might be true of Jágr as well. You had a good little run there between, you know, going from Mario and Jaromír Jágr to Sidney Crosby and Malkin. Like, it's been, you certainly can't look back on that with anything but gratitude. But I do remember that 93 game seven, the David Bolick goal that you're talking about. Nobody thought that could happen, including me as an Islanders fan. So that was a lot of fun. It was unfortunate that they couldn't take it any further than that year. But yes, I remember that well.
Yeah, I bet you do. I remember because I was in New Jersey when that game was on, right? And I remember going into overtime. They showed every Islanders overtime goal and just prepared me for what was about to happen. So that was a disaster. But yeah, I am fortunate to and you are too, because the Islanders have great history too when it comes to winning Stanley Cups. How about a Joe Namath story?
Well, as old as I am, unfortunately, I was still young when Joe Namath was at his peak. I will say, though, he's one of those guys that has stood as a pinnacle for the franchise, in part because it's been so long since they've won. But he was such a larger than life character, especially in New York City, where there are a lot of larger than life characters. But a guy who was wearing, you know, fur coats on the sidelines and was at all the big New York City events. Those larger than life characters are well thought of in New York. And there's a handful of them that have come through the ages. But look, we're as Jets fans, we're super appreciative of Joe and what he did for the team.
Unitas again. The pass to Richardson. He has the ball. The game is over. The New York Jets are the world champions. They have upset the Baltimore Colts and beat them handily here today.
We all felt we could win. We won. Baltimore felt they could win. They lost.
Joe, you're king of the hill.
No. No, we're king of the hill. We got the team, brother.
If I was a little older, I probably would have appreciated it a little bit more, but I know enough to have his jersey hanging in my home office, so it's all good.
You probably would be surprised to know that even though I'm a lifelong Steelers fan, the very first helmet I had was a white helmet that I created a Jets logo on with a face mask to look like Joe Namath. Because
Really?
being from Western Pennsylvania, Joe Willie Namath, obviously from Beaver Falls and from the
Yeah.
Pittsburgh area. So I know my brother Don and I, he actually got me interested in Joe Namath. And a lot of people say Joe Namath, oh, He never had the stats that others have in the Hall of Fame. They didn't really watch the games then because he changed the league by winning that Super Bowl in 1969. So Joe Namath was a great player. And a lot of people don't even realize he was a running quarterback at Alabama because his knees were so worn out by the time he got to playing for the Jets later in his career. You wouldn't even imagine that that would be the case. What would be the best result for next league that you would say, we're on a major roll now?
In 2026, I think, to the extent that we continue to be a trusted advisor and do more and more with professional teams, we've spent a lot of time and built a really nice business around federations and leagues, primarily because most of the business was on the media side where all the rights are. Typically, most of the rights are at the league level. So we've built a really nice business in that sense. But as you mentioned, there are a number of professional teams that we work with now. To the extent that we could grow that business and stay ahead of the curve when it comes to what's happening in artificial intelligence, which is certainly not going to be an easy thing to do. It seems like, unlike every other technology I've been around for 30 years, it changes weekly as opposed to monthly or annually. So that would be a great year for us if we could continue to create value for professional teams and stay ahead of the curve when it comes to tech, in addition to serving all the clients we already have. That's a great year.
What a great point about AI just continues to change by I don't even know how you handle it when it comes to what you do.
I have a whole bunch of smart people,
And
thank God.
a lot of people who I know looking and doing some research who really value your mentorship and your ability to, as I mentioned before, to create a culture that works for your employees as well as a successful one. So I encourage people not only to read your book, but to follow Next League. And so I like to ask these kind of questions, Dave. If you could either go back in time or maybe head to 2026, is there a sporting event that you would like to take your sons and find out your children and just enjoy a game and not have to worry about the tech side?
Oh gosh. I look, even for the clients that we work with, I always enjoy the events. We are fortunate to have gone to an Olympics and are going to another Olympics this year, so that one wouldn't check that box. I've never been to a World Cup match. And that's coming next year to the United States. It's going to be spread out all over the place, so I'm hopeful that we'll be able to take at least one of those in. There's nothing like the global fandom around international football. And when you add in the national element where you're rooting for a home team that's your country, I think that would be fantastic. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Very good. So we'll leave it there. The CEO and co-founder of this wonderful tech group, Next League, run by my guest today, Dave Nugent. Dave, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Continued success, and thanks for joining us on Sports Jam.
Thanks very much for having me, Doug. I appreciate it.
Sports Jam is a WBGO Studios production. You can hear all the past shows by going to wbgo.org/studios or wbgo.org/sportsjam. You can also hear Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Special thanks going out this week to Joe Favorito for hooking us up with Dave Nugent and for the NHL and NFL for using those clips from YouTube. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.